Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Good evening and welcome to On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, thanking God for another day of being here. Thanking all of you for being here after a little bit of a short hiatus and break. Those of you that have been coming out from under that bad weather that we've had last week, I'm glad you're all here. And to those of you that had some losses and some damage done by that weather, our hearts go out to you. And hopefully you've come out from under it better. I want to say a couple of shout-outs. I want to shout out to Kim Milton, to Trayvon Taylor, to Terry Banks, to Cameron, Jared, Layla, and Matthew. Thank you guys out there for your constant support. And to all of you that have been writing the emails, so those of you that have been keeping up with the spirit of the show, even in our absence at this point, with suggestions and discussions and some feedback, I want to thank you very much because you are an intricate, cherished, and valued part of the way we continue this. Okay, so now that we're all back today at a special time because yesterday we couldn't get here, let me let you know that we are going to be speaking on some very important things today. Now, all of you are aware that we just came off of a three-part series where we were letting the males know, the men in our community know, that we need them to sort of get back on track and get back on their game because they are the providers and the leaders and the first in line pretty much to keep our society and our households and stuff together if everything is in place and they're lined up and yoked up pretty good. So without them being right, then it falls on the rest of us to get out of our game and our orbit and try to fill into places that we're not designed to so things don't run as smoothly as they should. Well, that was for what the men had to go through. That was the way we needed to wrangle the guys up so that they can wrangle in and police their own community so that they can get their stuff together with things that women can't handle. And so tonight, ladies, it's on us because today I'm going to be speaking about toxicity from us as women and how toxic women are actually causing detriment to not just the men that they're being toxic with, but they are causing the risk in the way the children are being affected, emotional trauma. And it's more because the catalyst articles that I'm using, the stories that we're using to launch this topic is one, or actually it's two, because there's two that I'm using tonight. It's two parts of a number of alarmingly high incidents of trauma and emotional baggage and even harm physically that's happening to our children at the hands of their moms and their women in their life. And also goes back to the reason why many of our real men, the men that are out there trying to hold things down, that are working hard, that are actively involved with their children, are being blockaded or and under notice because it's us that's building a big barrier between them and where they need to be. It's us, and I'm talking about those that are toxic members, that are stopping these men from doing their jobs and from our children benefiting. So let's get to our sponsor commercials tonight, our pre-topic song, which is definitely going out to you women out there that are being toxic, that are being a problem, and that are complaining, even though when you have everything right in front of you, you have other agendas for your personal gain, and you're causing this to happen. So tonight, let's see what we could do here. We will be going out, let's see. We're from our sponsors. Be back in just a sec.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back.
Back with the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. So tonight, everybody, our segment is entitled, Is It a Warrior Mom or a Toxic Woman? And here's the situation. Historically speaking, okay, we've been understanding that most of the time when you're hearing about these, you know, tragic incidents or these emotionally traumatic outcomes for kids, especially in family court situations, that's usually the men being accused of abandonment or deadbeat fatherhood or domestic violence. It's usually the men that we hear about. It's usually women that are the damsels in distress. But as of late, not only has it been the flipping of the tables and it's been more women coming forth and being exposed, but these are women that are doing some real trifling things. Now, those of you that are my veteran listeners, you know that I have this little thing that I say, females versus real women, males versus real men. This is why. We all share the same anatomy. We all share the same gender association. And I'm not speaking to the LGBT community because I'm not saying that. I'm speaking on those of us that are identifying ourselves as moms, dads, female, males. You know, I'm going to make sure that we understand that. I'm not trying to get into a pronoun war here. So, with that being said, moms are out there becoming now bigger problems to the split state of our families, with the men that are being overshadowed anyway by deadbeat fathers and deadbeat dads and all of these people. I said that twice, guys. I heard you. I'm a little off today. Let's get with it. So the deadbeat fathers that are out there, the guys that are abandoning, the breed and drops, all of them that are out there, the guys that are hitting, you know, all of that is on the front page. And meanwhile, real men that are out there fighting for custody for their children, fighting to have a place in their children's lives, working hard and paying their child support and dealing with some of the craziness that their exes are dealing with, be it that these women started to get angry and change because of something that the husbands did to them and changed them, and then they're acting out for whatever which way, or they were kind of like this anyway, and it just ran the course it was going to run in the relationship, and of course these guys and these women are not together anymore, so now it becomes something else. But now, when you start putting in the factors of other things being included, and it's no longer about the fight for justice or the fight for things being right or fair, then you have to start understanding that now we women are crossing a line. These females are crossing a line now where it's starting to be detrimental to what's important, and that's the children, and that's the state of the family, and that's children having both parents in their lives for however which way they can be there, giving as much productivity and positivity as possible. Now, I'm going to start with this. There's two highly profiled, well, at least by way of a famous YouTube blogger, at least she's one of mine, Pink Velvet Book, I believe it is, Lessons, Pink Book Lessons, that's the YouTuber. And the reason why I picked that YouTuber, because usually it's either her or Tisa Tells that sort of brings everything you've been hearing into one place in full summary, and the details are there so you get the full gist of the history of the case. So if it's something that was an incident that started and there were subsequent parts to it, she has everything right there on her channel and then gets into her own commentary about it. Well, there was three cases that I was following through her channel, but only two of them I'm actually, you know, it's plain as day that it's the women being toxic in the situation, to the point where it's almost disgusting from a real woman's standpoint to sit here and look at another woman doing something like this, but not just about, it's not so much just the things that they're doing. It's the things that they're using that are real issues for real victims and real people to benefit a hidden agenda of gold diggerhood or of not wanting to take their own place and do their own thing and, you know, without depending on somebody else's either money. Another man, another person, especially a black man, is out there doing this and giving fodder to these people in the media. Another athlete has beaten on his wife. Another athlete has done something against his state of his child's well-being. And then you start hearing the details. And then almost by the first or second thing that you hear, you already see, oh, this is not going the way that she's trying to portray it. Now let's see what she's really up to. And the thing is, I don't like to put a person down, a woman down, without, you know, I'm not making any judgments about who that person is. I'm not behind closed doors. I don't really know what goes on. But based on what she's presenting, based on the things that she's bringing forward, based on all of the things that has already been put in place, even if the things she's saying is true, even if the things she's saying with regards to certain decisions being decided in the favor of him because of fame or whatever the case is, the way she went about it is kind of shady or is not being done in a way where nobody can question why she's doing it. Meaning she's saying it's about her son. She's saying it's about protecting her son. She's saying it's about keeping him away from his dad because his dad was posing a danger, be it physically or emotionally. However, if you start watching even some of the things, because pretty much that case had to be on virtual court, so you can actually see on the camera in some point where she was off camera sort of kind of quickly trying to coach her son into saying something to prove an allegation that she was putting forth against Rashawn. So the deal was this. She says that Rashawn was abusive to her. And then she said he was abusive to their son. And it started off with her. So when that didn't work, because mind you, she had three jurisdictions trying to get her way or get the judgments turned the way she wanted it to.
Now,
so,
back with more On the Edge.
We can start by saying, thank you out there. We can start by saying they live in California. So she went to one county in LA, I believe it is. I'm not really good with all of the provinces out there in California, but I think it's an LA county judge that was there first. So she goes to this first court and they put the initial petition of either divorce or custody before the court. After all of the details that she brought out, after all of the self-representing notes that she put forward, after all of the Google legalese that she tried to throw out there, after all of the attempts of trying to sound like she's very well-versed into all of the sections and the statutes and all of the laws and all of the things that she can pull out, after all of the things that she said that Rashawn has done that makes her have pause as to giving her son over to him. That didn't work. And the first county said, okay, we heard you, but you haven't proven that the man is anything but a loving father. We're going to surrender custody to him because apparently you're seemingly unstable or you're seeming to have type of behavior that may be more detrimental to the well-being of your son's sanity. We are granting custody to his father. Okay, whatever she thought was going to happen through all that fluff, I guess didn't happen. However, which way? Now, let's say for all fairness and purposes that she's got something else that no, she's trying to get out because nobody is trying to see what she's saying. Everything that they have asked her, point blank, I guess, nobody really got to see the LA stuff on film, okay? So I don't really know what took place behind closed doors, just whatever is being was being reported by the written media, okay? So first California judge said, I don't care what you're saying. I hear you. I got it. But you haven't proven that this man has done anything to warrant you keeping his son away from even physically seeing him or visiting with him. Okay. So she was told, surrender the baby to his father. She didn't like that. So she goes to another county in Los Angeles after being told to surrender the kid, which, by the way, you, regardless of what you felt was an unjust verdict or unjust decision, you were under law to give the child to his father. Okay, so if you're a mom, if this is your defense, that you're a mother that is so deathly afraid that nobody's listening and that your son is in some real danger, okay, I can understand the first time you're trying to get an appeal, you go to another county because maybe you feel the venue you first went in was biased or, you know, that you couldn't get a fair trial, so a fair hearing. So you get there, and that county tells you they don't see anything wrong with the previous judge's decision. You added on and upgraded and modified your allegations, and you added on and padded on even more stuff to tell this new judge that last judge didn't give me the opportunity to say this. And I'm telling you that this is what happened, and he has people that he pays pockets to, and everybody that's been involved, we didn't get to see a judge. We got to see a mediator, and the mediator said everything that he wanted him to say because he would be in trouble with Rashawn if he didn't rule in Rashawn's favor because Rashawn holds his job in his hands or her hands. Okay? Well, that second judge was like, yeah, all right, whatever you say, give the baby up. Now, there's a little more that there's some other things that I'm going to bring up, but let's get to what this woman decided to do after being told by a second judge that she had to surrender her son. She decides, oh, really? So not to disobey one law and one judge in one court, or two judges and two laws in two courts, she decides to flee with the kid and leave the state altogether and go all the way over now to the east side of the world, to Georgia, where she tries to now have this case tried with a whole new judge and a whole new jurisdiction. Now, mind you, I'm not sure if all of you are familiar with the, because this judge's cases are actually videoed and recorded and uploaded to YouTube. So pretty much you get to see like full sessions with a lot of these judges. But there's a couple of judges in particular that I really like. There's three women judges and there's one other male judge that I saw. But this one in particular, it's a lady named, it's a Your Honor, named Judge Alex Manning, okay? Now, this judge is no-nonsense woman. She's up there, and I'll tell you this. She listens to the case. Now, I don't know what Miss Alexis Holmes thought she was going to be up against or was going to be able to do when she got there, but Rashawn came prepared, and this judge is a non-softy, in a sense. She's sweet, she's great, but she's no nonsense and she knows her stuff. So now, Rashawn's lawyer, which by the way, Alexis Holmes came with as a self-represented client or respondent. So she petitions, or this in this case, she was the petitioner. She petitions the court to listen to the case that's already been decided on by two previous judges in a separate jurisdiction. So now what happens? Well, she pouring out all of this stuff. He hit me, and the baby came back from a visit with his father with a bloody knot on his head. That was the way she bled it. And I believe the baby's afraid of him. He's afraid of him. And I don't want him to go back. And none of these judges were listening. And everybody in California was against me and for him. So now the judges listening to her gave her an opportunity. And before she could get into everything else, Rashawn's lawyer was stopping. Okay, so Your Honor, listen. The question here is not whether or not these allegations are true or false. The question is whether or not Rashawn committed a new infraction on this jurisdiction in Georgia, because in every essence of the word, you don't have the right to hear this case whatsoever if nothing happened here in Georgia, because it's already been decided and closed out in L.A. County where they came from. Not once, but twice. And the first time, Mrs. Holmes ignored the first order of the court and brought the second, went to a second jurisdiction in another court and ignored that one and fled with the kid here. So she's violating all types of laws, including a new one of in essence, she kidnapped the baby and brought the baby over. Now she's trying to add on that she's afraid of him, even more so. All right, so this judge listened, and listened to this lady go on and on and on about how Rashawn Holmes has people in his pocket. But then every time they would ask her, this is where us as viewers are looking at this now, is on the, let's say it's like the virtual jury panel observing this petitioner here and defendant over there, and you get to judge for yourself what you believe based on what you're seeing, what she's doing in front of you, not what was said. And everything that was a new, fresh place for her to say what she had to say, she avoided all the key direct questions. When everybody brought her back from her circle of motion and said, okay, so he did all of this, let's ask this, what did he do here in the state of Georgia that would qualify you to allow yourself to present this case to me, Judge Alex Manning in Georgia? Because if you don't have one shred of something that happened on my soil or on this county line, then what you're saying is sad and tragic if it's true, but it won't mean anything to me because I don't have any jurisdiction to preside over this case. She kept saying, well, what I'm trying to say is that he had a tracker in our son's bag. So it started in L.A., but when he got here, following us and threatening us through the text messages with the tracker being in my son's bag, technically says that it happened in Georgia. And she's like, nope, try again. Well, she's like, what did he do here? Did he threaten you here? She's like, well, he comes here because he's in the NBA and he has family here. What did he do to you or the child here? She never would get there. Then she went to everything else. So now I dug a little deeper. We're all digging a little deeper. There's got to be a little more to why this lady is holding out some more. Now, mind you, the child's not there in the room with her, but he is present on the premises. When she goes to get the baby, as the judge requested, because the judge was trying to give this lady some type of leeway, some type of leniency or some type of you know, wiggle room, you could clearly see that this lady is stalling on camera but out of sight, schooling the kid as quickly as she can in the short time that she's given to hide out and not really be seen on camera. But you could kind of hear her whispering something to the baby. And then the baby goes, you want to see daddy? She probably was shaking her head no, where you couldn't see her. And he's like, no, I don't want to see daddy. Meanwhile, you could see Rashawn is practically crying because he's been dying to see his child, and he was given legal right to have him. But this woman blocked the court from allowing him to see her, despite the court order. So why wasn't she arrested? Why isn't she realizing that what she's doing is coaching her son to pretty much, she's convincing her son to get himself away from a very important and critical part of his well-being, and that's his dad, a loving father, a working father, an able and capable father. a father that has the side of the law on his hands. That had it been the other way around, that man would have been arrested. He would have been ostracized. He probably would have been killed or tased because of who he is in this society. And that child would have lost the father in another tragic way had it gone that way. Why wasn't she not allowed to step over the line? Why wasn't she given the restrictions that he would be given and say, listen, ma'am, take it to court, do what you got to do. But as far as what the court says now, that baby has to go to his father. Here's my issue. All of you that have been with me since 2013 know my story. I'm a victim and a survivor of domestic violence and incest and rape. I understand what it's like to be put down. I understand what it's like to have been homeless and dealt with family court issues and domestic violence hearings. And let me explain this to you. I, for one, who had enough issues, who fell in the same difficult tragedy or difficult room of trying to get some justice for what was really going on, for real danger, for real issues, have a problem with the person who thinks that domestic violence is a fashion accessory to use when all else fails in your attempt to be a trickster. So now if you dig a little deeper, let's put a couple of other factors in to try to make a little sense about why this woman would sit there and continuously say things and keep going all out of her way to try to get somebody, anybody to listen to her version of what's going on, even though everything that is put in place to verify or deny has not shown anything to support her claims. The baby did not have any lacerations that were deep that could qualify being categorized as a bloody knot. It was a slight scratch and apparently could be explained by happy play for a kid at 6 years old. So, okay, that didn't work. The baby didn't seem unhappy until mommy started talking to him around his dad. And when she started instilling certain things, the baby started copying and mimicking mom's situation. So we don't really know what would happen if the baby was alone, away from his mom, safe and free of feeling that she would be punishing him at some point if he didn't go her way. So we don't really know what the baby feels about his dad. Okay, so let's dig a little deeper as to what the terms of her divorce were. If I'm not mistaken, I've got this based on what I read now. I don't really know what the actual law is with regards to alimony out in that state. I'm not sure from what I'm understanding when I read that she wasn't married to Rashawn long enough before the divorce for her to be considered a candidate, I guess, for long-term alimony, where, you know, the ones where everybody knows alimony goes until the ex remarries. I don't know if there's some sort of weird stipulation. If any of you Californians are out there listening, call in and sort of set me straight, or, you know, not set me straight, but like enlighten me. I'm not sure what it is, but she didn't qualify for continuous alimony. So I guess that in the divorce settlement that she was given a certain amount, and I guess that she's dipped into that nest egg long enough, or it's getting low, or she ran out of time with it or whatever. So the only other nest egg that she could deal with is child support. Now, let me be clear. I am not spitting on any mother's, the genuinity of any mother's love. I do not really know what else went on behind closed doors between her and Rashawn. But at this point, once it's a divorce, it ain't about you and Rashawn anymore. It's about what that baby and his dad has as a relationship. It's about what now he is to his son. It's about what that child needs from his father. And from this point on, whether you're upset about it or not, what you need to be doing is making sure that when your son leaves with his dad, that his dad is doing his part 110% to make sure that the part he has to play to stabilize his son's well-being, he's playing it. That is when you have something to say, and not with jaded glasses either, where you're sitting up there and it's jaded by your own hatred and own agenda. So that's the issue. Now, here's the problem that I have with her, because there's another person. This woman is using the child support system based on her actions and the way it's reading and unspoken things here, is using the child support system to supplement an income she feels she's entitled to. No, lady, the child is with his dad, and that's the part she didn't want to happen. Based on everything she was doing, I didn't see fear and desperation in her desperation when she was speaking. I didn't get that vibe. I didn't see somebody who's been frustrated because it's been happening and she's suffering and she's begging for help and nobody's giving it to her. I saw somebody that's not buying her story. And if you guys are looking at it too, not listening to me, look at it with fresh eyes for yourself. If you want to get a full view and see it for yourself and form an opinion and come back and let's speak on it, go to YouTube and look up Pink Book Lessons. Pink Book Lessons. That's the name of the YouTuber blog, the YouTube blog channel of this lady. And look up the Rashawn Holmes versus Alexis Holmes custody battle or hearing. And it's with Judge Alex Manning in Georgia. Not only that, the guy was defamed in his own organization of work, MBA, where because of her allegations, they pegged him to be an abuser, something that apparently, you know, when they feel like it, they act as if they give a damn about that particular problem among their players. But he had to sue to get for defamation to get his good name back. So he won that case or settled it. I'm not sure if you know which way it went, but that's good for him. Because you know something? We women, we real women, we complain that there aren't good men out there that takes care of their children. We are complaining that we want a man with respect that works. We want a person that cares about their kids. We want the children to be involved, the dads to be involved. We're already dealing with all the bombarding of the masses of reality TV depictions of who our men are. We're already looking at people that enjoy making reality shows and big bucks and profiting off of the images of broken men, of hip-hop drug-dealing criminals, of all this stuff. No, that's not who we are. That's not what real men are. And the poor real men that are out there that, A, they're not even getting noticed as real good men because half of the time the real good men out there aren't living up to the physical attributes and expectations of what Hollywood is positioning as a, this is what real men are. This is what women go for. This is what you want to be if you want to be somebody in this world. But these men are grinding, and they're out there loving their sons and their daughters, and they're out there understanding that their role is critical. I have a really good friend in my life. I call him my male parallel. He's a single father of six. He's been grinding with low-paying jobs because every time he goes out there to actually find a job that matches the skill he's put in for over a decade and a half, they don't want to give him that pay because you know what? They feel like he doesn't have the right to negotiate his worth. But he's not stopping. He took every job there was to make sure that his children are well cared for, that he's providing for them. He's dealt with ex-women, two women in his life that turned out to not be such nice people after a while. But he pushed back whatever issues he's got with them to make sure that he, as the children's father, has a whole different and separate relationship, certain vibe that is all about just him and his children, forgetting whatever he's going through with the crazy exes. And that man is not being celebrated by what you see out here. That man is not being told, thank you, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Thank God for that. That man is like, you don't even exist because the 15 other guys that's acting like they're in men's bodies, but they're acting like little bratty boys are not doing it. Meanwhile, the ones that are out there trying to make sure and even will respect you or deal with you as a toxic person, I should say, women, you're becoming an obstacle that doesn't hurt you. You're being vindictive to him. Your child is feeling it. Because at the end of the day, if he can and when he will, he'll go to somebody to make you obsolete. And he won't have to deal with you. But then he's going to have to deal with the child that you have fractured, and he has to put that mess back together. And if we are entitled to be protected, if we are entitled to be defended, if we are entitled to have a man who's walked off his responsibility and left us with the mess, if we have the right to tell our story and say, look what this man did to me, and we have the right and the luxury of other people going, oh, that's so sad, let me help you out, oh my goodness, let me make this resource so that you, broken woman, can become whole as much as possible, let's go after that man that left you there, then why is it that you feel that whatever you know hurt you, whatever hell you saw happen to your child because of what was lacking, and because of the struggles and extra hardships that had to be addressed because of the fact that one half of the team involved left, then why is it when you now become that same thing, but you're living in the home with that child, don't you have the same accountability and subjected to the same type of consequences? We women have to wrangle up us the same way we sat here in the last three episodes talking about what men have to do to wrangle in their community, to let these men that are going out there with trauma, unaddressed health, mental health issues, that we're telling these men that you are the ones that they're looking for approval from because you're the reasons why they don't come forth, because you're telling them they're not real men because they've been raped, or they're not real men because they're sad, or they're not real men because they don't know how to be tough through a hell or through a problem. If we're telling them as women that, listen, we're messed up because you're messed up because we have to do your job because you're the one that's not calling out those guys that are making this man trying to do something with himself feel like he's supported and not ostracized, we women have the same responsibility to wrangle in and call out BS and toxicity on our side of the community. Not that men and fathers are any less important or that their role is any less than us, but women are the first in the creation of life, not the forming of the egg and the sperm. We're the ones that the babies get nourishment from as they're growing into fully formed human beings. We're the ones that they have to count on for the first aspects of their life as long as we want to. We're the ones that are going to be there first because the men, if they're doing the right thing, are going out there to work while we heal from our postpartum delivery, while we do whatever it is that we do. We're the ones that know before they know if the child is theirs or not. We're the ones that have to be there to do whatever. And let me tell you something. For as many bad things that a man can do, there are certain things that a woman holds the key to or the power to do that can do a whole lot of damage just as much. Knowing that you slept with more than one guy and you're pregnant and you didn't tell them both, that let me be real, that you know either one of you could be the dad because it was so close, and then turn out not only did you hurt two men, but you hurt a child too. Telling a cop, especially if you are a black woman or talking about a black man, that black man pose any sort of danger to you, they're not going to go after that black man because they truly give a shit about you. Excuse me for that French. They're going after that black man because they care about taking down the black man. So you have the power to squeeze a tear and bat your eyes and tell some cop that this man hurt you when all he wanted to do was see his son and he didn't want you. That's an issue. And to us real ladies out there that we know what we're talking about, we're not speaking about you. You don't need to step up and defend that you don't do this because obviously this is not aimed at you. We're the ones that's supposed to be there to wrangle in the problems because we need our men back on their seats. We need our men back to do their job. We need to not be so overwhelmed and overtired and sick and mentally drained. We need to not get to the point where we as women that were once in our realm and could do everything and anything need to understand that while we can do it, we're not supposed to be doing it. We need to understand that independence doesn't mean independent of the other half. We need to stop telling our children that we are mother and father because we are not. No matter what it is that you can do, Supermom, you can never tell your son how to shave their genitalia the way they need to, how why one didn't fall, why their muscles aren't raising up. We cannot tell them as men what it means to still be men and be respectable when it comes down to things of sexual nature. We cannot be the one to tell our boys and make them understand that just because you're choosing not to have sex right now doesn't mean you're any less of a man. Just because you're choosing to wait till you get married, if that's the way you choose, doesn't mean that you should feel bad for your decision. Just because it's a girl that has a nice behind or nice breasts that is looking at you and you decide that, you know what, thank you, you're cute, you're pretty, you're beautiful, but I'm not interested, doesn't make you any less of a man for saying I have my own morals or my own standards. Women could say that all we want, but it's not going to really resound in a boy's head until his daddy says so. Until some real man that steps up with character tells himself. And we need you females to stop sending them away. We need whatever your gold-digger agenda is to stop being in the way. Now, I want to stop on Alexis Holmes for a minute because I've got to go over to another ratchet person that is a part of tonight's segment. Let me get over to my notes here. Now, here is a woman named Kristen Ray Williams. Now, this one. Ooh. Okay. Another one where this father, I'm not sure, and I don't quote me on that one just yet because I got to check my notes as soon as I can find them. But Kristen Ray Williams, baby mama times either 3 or 4 with different men. Collecting child support, but the children are not physically with her. The children have been sent, and I believe, now let me get this right. I think she's in Michigan, and her children are in Florida with, wait for it, her mother. Now, her mother, who's older than her, who's in a retirement state, is taking on young children who she doesn't have any issues for not wanting to take them, except no matter what she says, she has no reason for not having those children there or for her mother having the children. Now, I'm going to give you some things for her. Just like Alexis Holmes, they both ignored a court order. Now, in this respect, I believe this one of her baby's fathers, this Kristen Williams, one of her baby fathers, ladies and gentlemen, was seeking custody. She acted as if she didn't want her children to be over with his new girl, but then 5,000 other reasons why she wasn't doing what was the most obvious solution to do based on everything she claimed she's going through to the judge. Every time the one thing she said that she thought in her head when she practiced it in front of the mirror that was going to be a solidified, yeah, this is a bona fide reason. Nobody's going to debate that. When that didn't work with this judge and he asked her follow-up questions, she jumped to something else she thought was going to sound big, bad, and you know, convincing. When that didn't work, she started to unravel. She started to get disrespectful to the court. She started to act like some, you know, ratchet hillbilly from the side of a bar drinking roadside bar somewhere and started screaming at the judge. She started telling the judge what she's not going to do. So it went from, my children aren't with me, although I'm collecting child support when they're with my mother in a whole other state because I have to work. Then it was, oh, because I have medical problems and I'm about to go get surgery in 2 to 3 days from now. Then it was, no, not that. I sent her with her father because she was acting badly and I wanted her father to discipline her on that respect. Oh, my mom takes care of it because I have to work more 2 or 3 shifts. Okay, so she brought up every single reason why she can't have her children physically, even though she's not surrendering custody, even though the father, who actually was stabilized with schooling, was stabilized with physical placement, was stabilized with getting her to medical treatments, the baby that is, was stabilized with being able to give her dinner and lunch and pack her breakfast and do all this other stuff, and wanted his daughter. She didn't want to give up that child support. She was using money for everything but the children. She didn't have any, and that's the thing. She has three different men, I think, with four children. None of them were with her. She was defying everything the judge was telling her right there and got away with that. She was bad-mouthing one father that wanted him and talking less or dismissive of the others. Nothing about her having her children with her seemed to be a priority. And the fact that anybody seemed to have a problem with this seemed to escape her understanding. She wasn't even trying to pretend to be a concerned parent. Then turned around and said, I love my child. I'm with, where? And you can look up that case as well on the Pink Book Lessons page or channel on YouTube. These are not real women out there doing real things for their child. Now, in the case of Alexis, even though she looked like she had her own agenda about stuff, I can't say that she's dismissing her son's well-being or loving her child altogether. I just feel that she, based on her actions, based on her excuses, based on all the hyper attempts that she's making, all these exacerbated allegations, the things that she's doing really just says that I want to keep my son because there's a benefit that comes with it. And see, here's the issue. There are real women out there that have real issues with real deadbeat dads, with real problems, with real difficulties where the child support is really needed. And they really use the child support to support the child. So the problem with this society is, and I don't know, we all know that more than likely the reason for that backward twisted thing is more than likely because there's some financial powerful or otherwise engaged reason for deliberately throwing a simple solution into some difficult overload and overdrive and going around the mulberry bush just to come to a straight line. So what I mean by that is this. Clearly, there's every one exception to a normal rule. So here, I mean, to a normal activity. There's every one exception to the rule with regards to how things normally run. So let me say this. When you're speaking about parents that take parent roles seriously, that love their children, that know what it means to be a parent, that understands their responsibility and lives by that, okay? The average parent is not going to go and do something to harm their children. The average parent is not going to take from their children. So when you find the one or the two that has been exposed, let's say in a group of 18, you then have a society that goes, well, since those two got caught being fraudulent with the child support system, let's end the child support system. Since those two, abuse their child because their child said they were pregnant at 14, then let's make it so that all kids don't have to go to their parents when they're pregnant at 14. Those of you that know how I speak and know what I'm doing, I think you're following along. Any of you that need some clarification, just hit me up on the Facebook On the Edge show page and ask me the question. We'll soon have an interactive chat situation where you'll be able to ask me as we go. So with that being said, this is the way that this society runs things. They'll take the actions of the one to make decisions for the consensus of the many. So here's the situation. You're going to say that one idiot mother that abused her daughter or beat her kid because she was pregnant or, called her daughter certain names or put her daughter in lingerie at 15 and had 15 guys around her at 14 or, things to that effect. Because that one person did something that wound up being some tragic result, that every mother in the world should be punished for that one person's action when we're busy sitting up there calling her the monster just like you. So we women have to understand that if we really want our community to get right, if we really want to heal the rift and fill in the fracture of the state of our relationships and the state of our families by realizing what the problems are, then it's not just what the men are doing wrong. Women, we're doing it, and there's some things because we don't have the physical prowess or we don't have the quick, you know, acceptance to be able to get away with doing certain things. We find more underhanded, more calculated, more vicious ways of doing things to get our way or to get back at that person. Like all these guys walk around thinking that, you know, we're in a harmonious multiple relationship. I have a polygamy camp and all of us women just get along just fine. Yeah, right. You might think so because we're not saying it up front, but there's not one woman on this earth, and any of you women walk around going, that's not true. We're just a blended family. No, honey. No woman wants her man with another woman and be okay with it. Think again. So time to hit the sponsors. Now I'm going to open up. We're opening up over here. If you have any questions, if you have any thoughts, if you want to weigh in on this, if you know somebody that's a toxic female and that's another story where a kid is being involved, and what you think about the Rashawn Holmes situation, you call us in here because I can't see you from the live stream and I can't interact with you on the live stream. So call 347-327-9967. Press 1 so I know you want to speak and I will call you right in. So let's get back to a word from our sponsors. And I will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Hey, everybody, I'm back. Okay, let me address a few of the off-screen or off-the-air inbox messages. Okay, so Rita in, let's see where your area is. Okay, Rita, you are, in Delaware. Wow, I haven't seen one of those. Okay, so hi from Delaware, or hi to Delaware. Rita says, you're absolutely right. It's so detrimental and sad when moms are being the reason why men who really want to be involved can't see their children. The fact that a lot of women really don't want to let the man move on or don't want to give them up and they use children to be an issue is sad because these children already have lost the padded protection of the government or the society. There's no more filters put in place to protect the children's transition from innocence or preserve their innocence as long as possible. I've heard you say this so many times on your shows, Katie, and you're absolutely right. thank you for saying this, and to those people that are out there doing it, us real women, us real mothers who already have a hard time, need to really, 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 hold on, my glasses have a little fuzzy there. Get together. Thank you for that. Really need to band together and call out the women in our communities that's causing the rift in our children, and give these men the chance to do what it is that they're trying to do, and let our children benefit from having a strong male figure in the picture. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Let me see. Who else do I have here? Oh, one more. Mindy from Nebraska. Hey, Mindy. Yes. Let me see what you have to say. Hi, Nebraska. I just want to say thank you for that. I've witnessed that in my class with a lot of women whose children come to class troubled and upset because they have mothers in their lives that are doing the same thing. I have one little boy that really wants to see his father but is forced to comply or agree with his mom because it appears that there's a fear of retaliation from his mom or reprimand. But you're absolutely right, and it is our responsibility as a community to come together and call out the women in our circles if we should see it. So that thing about seeing something and saying something really, really applies to our children as well. As a teacher, one of the things I try to do without appearing to infringe on the rights of a parent is to tell our children lessons in a way through stories that lets them see a way to be without having to appear to be disrespectful to authority. Absolutely, Mindy. Thank you so much, and thank you for your listenership. So if there's anybody out there now that are calling in to have something to weigh in on, please press 1 so that I know if you're in. Call the number 347-327-9967. So getting back to where we're at tonight, men, although this is a calling out to the women in our community, I do want to hear what it is that you have to say, because usually when you guys call in, you are all very qualitative and you offer some substantial viewpoints from your end because you're affected too. Those of you that are out there, even if you don't have your own children, but you're seeing that it's important to try to be a village father in a sense, or a village father figure to some child that needs it, you have a right to say this too. You have a right to tell these women what it is that is a problem that you see. So I really would appreciate that you calling and joining in. Your comments are welcome here. You women, I need you to step up to this plate too and to say things, because we're the ones, we women that are out here, we real women that are out here trying to hold things down and even fill in for those females that are not doing their part for their children and to give their children a little bit of that. We're the ones that's affected, because I don't know about how you feel, but here I am, a mom that's teaching my children to go out there and respect. I teach my sons to respect women and not to hit a woman. You know, I teach my sons and daughters to first try to solve the problem and give the people in charge a right to do their jobs before you have to either fight back or bring your mom or your dad in. My particular situation comes down where I can't stand it, because if I'm teaching my children how to do the right thing, if I'm teaching my children to go there and respect the teachers, if I'm teaching my children to respect your father, even though at times he may or may not act like he is looking to be there, if I'm teaching you all this, but your child is coming to school and disrupting class, and your child is bullying, and your child is doing this because you don't think you have time to be a mom, but you want the benefits that being a mother or a parent or in charge of someone comes with, that's not fair. And we're affected. So that is something that everybody has a say-so in. It is everybody's business, because everybody that you are messing with is affected in their own lives. If their child comes home with a bloody nose, if their child comes home and says that, you know, men ain't nothing. If a child comes home and heard you say to your child that, you know, you need to tell everybody that your dad hit you. You need to tell everybody that your dad hit mommy. You need to sit back there and let me get this money. And this is what we're hearing our children say because they thought that's what grown-ups do. We have a problem. And if what you're doing then turns around and becomes a legislative decision and goes against a resource that people like us who need it or people out there who are really being affected doesn't get because you were the one that everybody believes is the way all people receiving that service or receiving that resource or getting that help does with it. You're becoming a problem. Again, those of you calling in that want to speak, got to press one. So that's the situation that we have here. And I, for one, found these women's behavior reprehensible just on the basis of what they're doing as mothers and just on the basis of what their bottom line intent was and what their goal was. But then to realize and to see even further, this is, I think, where it really got me, that they would use any means necessary to twist the narrative and to twist the outcome was a problem. Because guess what? The things that the person that they needed to do or the things that they needed to do was literally use their children as pawns, was literally present their children as, you're my meal ticket. That's in the case of the second article that I spoke of. Like I said, I'm going to give Alexis Holmes her dibs on the fact that it's not her a fact of her just neglecting her child. It's just the fact that her actions are showing that he's the way in for her. But it's time for you to get off the gravy train, baby girl, and go churn your own gravy because daddy has the right to have it. And frankly, he doesn't look like he was going to be as vindictive as she was with him, possibly because he doesn't need to. I think he probably is a little more relieved, though, because he doesn't have to pay her when he has the kid. And that is the situation. It shouldn't be that these women are believing that our kids are a meal ticket. When you're getting money in your hand, if you are, let's say, a person that for whatever reason you can't go and do traditional work, if you're not able-bodied, but you have alternative ways of trying to make something work and contribute to your household, so you have this help, be it the court order from the person who's a little more able to help you through, like child support or spousal support, at the end of the day, great. But it's supposed to be given for that. It's supposed to be put for that, but it's not for you to depend on that person being the only way to do it. You're supposed to be trying to get better and then supposed to be trying to make life better, not trying to make life more luxurious, if that's the case. And whatever privileges you had as being his wife, you're now having the privileges and the restrictions of being an ex-wife, which means now whatever you were able to lean in and lean on and take from as under the cushion of being his married spouse, now you have to understand you got to take care of yourself, boo-boo. You both still share Rashawn Jr., but you have to do your own part for yourself. And there's nothing wrong with you. Just because you were used to doing something and dropping a stack here and there for something real quick, now you're going to have to start making more better priority choices. But your child never should have been disrupted in any way. His well-being should never be on the table for negotiation. And I resent the fact that that's what you're putting out there as all women do it. I'm sick and tired of hearing these little boys trying to grow up and be men talking about, oh, yeah, all women are gold diggers. The same way these same little people, oh, yeah, all men cheat. Yeah, marriage is not what it's cracked up to be. Don't get married, bro. Yeah, she just want to have a kid with that man so she can trap him. I'm tired of hearing that and people like you giving the what they say an ounce of validity based on your behavior, based on your exposés, based on the things that you were exposed for. I'm tired of it because I work too darn hard to be a respectable person in the community. I work too darn hard to teach my children how to be good people and proper people and respectable people and classy people. I work too darn hard to tell my children that you are owed nothing and you are responsible for yourself and everything. I work too darn hard to tell my son, don't hit a woman while you're letting your daughter run wild and punch a man in the face thinking that because people should tell men that they shouldn't hit women, that she's allowed to hit him any which way she likes just because. I'm tired of your lack of being a parent, lack of being a trusted woman, or lack of being somebody who feels that teaching your little girl how to behave like a woman or be a real woman for herself, how to have self-respect, that way she can exuberate respect for others, and teaching your son what type of woman he should be aspiring to be with, and allowing his father to be the example he should be allowed to be. Then turning into some raging little disrespectful maniac that's going to possibly run into my daughter one day, or some crazy little selflessly not respecting anyone girl that my son is going to look at one day and she's going to be able to say, hey, if I dress pretty sexy and I do certain things and I pretend that I love him and I pretend that I like him, then I can hook him in. Oh, that one's going to give me some cheddar. That one is going to give me some money. Oh, if I just bat my eyes and let him know that I'm all there, I see that he's feeling me. You know what? Then I got me a sucker. Is the result of females raising boys, not real women. And I am sick and tired of taking the blame for you. I am sick and tired of these real men out there trying to do their thing, having a deal with you, and then looking at me and saying, oh my God, because you did it to him, you're going to do it too. All of you are like, I am not you, and my children are not you, and this man, it will not be with you if he knew what the other side looks like. We still got a little quarter of the show left, so you guys, if you really got something to say, step it up. And if you females have something to say, come with it. 347-327-9967, that's our call-in number. Pressing 1 is what will get you onto the panel. I can't see you outside of that. Men, you are welcome to have your say. Women, you definitely need to step up and say, because listen, you know, one of the things I want to make clear is that every time, with the exception of a couple of my great ladies up there, and I'm not speaking about you shy ones, just to let you know, guys, nobody could see your faces, and you don't even have to say your real names on the air. If you have something to say, say it on the air. You are safe here. Women, we have to understand that just because most of the oppression or the things that happen usually happens because men seemingly dominate certain things doesn't mean that we don't have flaws that we need to fix. But things like this are dangerous. Things like this, when usually everybody expects the man to walk off, everybody expects the guy to be like, I'm not going to clean the little corners in the corner. That's what women do. Women don't worry about all that. You know, my son fell. You know, let me brush it off, make him feel a little better, and then we'll go outside and play some ball. You know, at the end of the day, that's what society thinks is going to happen, anticipates will happen, expects that it will happen, and accepts that it happened. But usually, even with that, women and moms are always like the glue and the resilient, you know, safety net and fallback pillow and all that other stuff. And yes, it's unfair a lot of times that we have to pick up that extra thing, but, you know, that's kind of what we were given. That's the strength we have, because when a woman cries, her tears really are like, it represents everything, a magic salve, the strengthening cleanser, all that other stuff. And when we're crying because we're heartbroken and we've cried out last year, when we get over our heartbreak, we come back stronger, bigger, more improved, and more of a powerful force than ever. So I'm going to say this to you. We understand that. But we also represent something else. We represent like that grounding factor. We're the foundation, the stone, the cement that keeps everything afloat. We're the ones that when men are walking around going, oh, my God, I don't have my tools, and I don't know, I'm going to build this. All these bricks are everywhere. They're doing this. And the women go, hold on. Don't worry about the outside stuff first. What you first need to do is go in the middle, get the big stuff, and pack it up, put it together, and make a foundation. And then after that, start sweeping the dust that's around there, and you'll start to see the space where you can put the rest of the stuff in. And guys will be like, yeah, all right, that's cool. Yeah, do that next time. So we're the ones that can see where to start in the middle of the explosion, and guys are like, oh, okay, well, I got the power tool for that one. We're busy sweeping up with three brooms, and they come in with one power tool because that's the only way they'll get started. So this is the deal with us. When we break down and we start doing, an excuse that we use is, well, men has been doing it to women for years. And you knew how that felt, and you knew what it did to your family, and then you knew what it did to your child's state of mind. What makes you think that the solution to do it is to do what they do and do it with more vicious intent? Because that's what we women have. We have the vicious, catty stuff that when we put something into it and we set our mind to do something, which that's how we actually make everything work when things go bad and we keep it together. Why would we then take that special gift, take that power, take that superpower, and then use it to inflict the same damage that we were put in place for that gift to make it better in the first place? How does that make sense? What happened to feeling good about what you've achieved for yourself? What happened to saying, hey, I made it through everything that you broke up and I'm still standing? What happened to that? How are you walking around feeling okay saying, I'm going to use my son or use my daughter as a pawn? I'm not going to let him come near this kid until he gives me what I want. Either he leaves her and gives me money, or he don't get nobody else if he's going to leave me, and that's it. Because if he wants this baby, he's going to do what I need. I held him down. I did all this. Yes, you did. But now that's over. And let him deal with the consequences of his immoral stuff. Let him get the karma that's coming to him. And you keep your dignity. And you walk up. You go around. Because trust me, if you do the right thing, as long as it seems that it may take to get there, you will get what's there for you. And it will be bigger and better than that. And everything you've accomplished was on your dime, was on your strategy, was on your thinking and your talents. It wasn't because you were the NBA player's wife or the football player's wife. It wasn't because you were pretty and had a nice rack and went and got some plastic surgery and, you know, was looking like a pretty arm candy on him. You did something with yourself. And if he was one of those people that was rotten and didn't give you much in divorce, guess what? If you're still standing at the end of all that, you can get to say he didn't give me a dime. And all those naysayers that are talking crap from outside the window, you can sit there and go, this was my doing, not his. So people could stop walking around and building an idea or assessing other people based on what they think Hollywood's gold-digging side chicks are doing. So these men that are out there grinding and crying, not so much with tears, but pretty much with pain and in desperation, trying to get to the family that they built, that they love so much, that trying to get out from under that big, solid, rain-down, acidic stereotype that, you know, we just breed seed and move along. When they're not getting help because, you know what, nobody wants a crying man saying, please let me see my kid. Your Honor, let me see my kid. Please, officer, I'm just trying to see my kid. I didn't touch her. She's crazy. Don't you understand? You don't understand what she's putting me through. Yeah, right. Look at you. You're like 250 pounds and she's a buck 10. You really think I believe this little lady is giving you that problem? Oh, yes, she is. This little female is giving this real man an issue. This real man is now soured and fractured on women who are out there condemning this bad behavior just as he is. Because if a female poisons herself, then everybody's got to be poisoned too. Because if she can't entitle herself to the benefits of other people's work, then everybody's got to be poisoned too. All right. It's time for me to take another sponsor break. 3 minutes. Be back. Once again, we've got just enough time to get a little short discussion in. If you guys are interested, give me a call. 347-327-9967. Please press 1. And then we will be on to concluding this. All of you live stream listeners in there, I appreciate you. Those of you overseas, I just found out, Croatia, Belize, Australia, all of you, Canada, UK, you listen, it's an honor to know that we're streaming all the way out there and that out there in your parts of the world, you find us substantial. So I appreciate that. And I am looking forward to hearing if there's any topic ideas you have that you want to get across, if there's anything in your area that you need to have discussions on or you need a voice for, whether you want to join in and discuss it or you just want somebody to speak for you, by all means, reach out to us. If you want to send us a suggestion, there are two places that you can email us at, and that is at ontheedgeshow@outlook.com or teamontheedge@gmail.com. Put in the subject, show topic, or show feedback, either way, so that you can let us know what's up. So be back after this sponsor commercial, and then we'll head off to the final part of this segment tonight.
The On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered. Featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
Now back with more On the Edge.
And welcome back, everybody, to the final part of this subject tonight. Is it a warrior mom or a toxic woman? We are speaking with the Catalyst, two Catalyst articles that you may have seen. Cases, one with NBA player Rashawn Holmes versus his ex-wife Alexis for the custody of their son. And there's been a lot of talk and comment across the web about everybody's assessment of her actions and how that judge, which, by the way, before I get to this amazing comment that was given by one of my listeners, that judge in the Georgia case pretty much did follow the law and dismissed even listening or entertaining that, even though she tried every which way to try to give Alexis a little thing. But she said, you know what, listen, let me clear something up with you, Mrs. Holmes. I'm I'm not impressed by his celebrity status or the fact that he could dunk and play basketball. She goes, look, I've played basketball in my life too, and I could dunk on him or any NBA player that comes up against me. So rest assured that in this courtroom, whether you are a celebrity or a farmer, everybody here is, it gets equal and fair, you know, hearing. And, you know, my judgment is my judgment, whether you're royalty or whether you're a farmer, as I said. So she shut down that conspiracy theory about everybody's in her ex-husband's pocket. So with that being said, that we're speaking about that and every measure and twisted turn that that lady did so that she could try to get a last-ditch grip on the gravy train from being an NBA player's wife. Now, the second one was some local Jane or local Joe who's like a chronic baby mama pretty much with different men and have none of her kids but got all the child support, is refusing to allow a very active, involved, and desiring father from having his child in full custody, given every kind of excuse she could think of. And every time the judge said to her, well, everything you're telling me goes back to the fact that the child would be better served with her father, it was a whole big thing, and it turned into something else. But the lengths that both of these women went through, even though one was blatant about her gold digging situation and the other one was trying to mask it by making it look like it was concern for her son, was you know, reprehensible. Now, I want to thank this amazing listener, and also he's a discussion contributory, Trayvon in Queens, New York. Now, he wrote this to me in our email, and he says, what has to be understood in this all is the fact that the male is beyond essential and vital to the child's upbringing. There's one thing when the man doesn't want to be involved, and it's another when the man does want to be involved and cannot, due to the personal effects of the mindset of the woman, mother, slash mother. In essence, these fathers who have found themselves childless, in childless positions due to the woman not doing her part and being timid, holding on to the hurt and not able, trying to carry and accept the help, men are now looking to raise every other child in their other villages, whether it's at work, church, on the block, community center, etc. Now, this is what I call reverse abandonment. Ding, ding. Thank you. Because now the father is missing the void of having what's rightfully his, and he's created with this timid woman. The role of the father is important. And there, again, are those who yearn a father and doesn't have it because of one reason or another. The male in this relationship has his own rules to follow, especially in being a leader. We have to know in a relationship how to effectively be leaders and play our roles effectively. A great leader sees where his team is weak and the areas where they're strong and have them to be utilized in that. The reality is that both the part of both mother and father, as well as father, can today the role of a mother. There are things that cannot be taught and inhabited from opposite sex. The child has to see and learn submission from both parents to now also be able to submit to these parents and their God. And that is a profound contribution, even though he is not able to be active on this panel. And thank you, Trayvon, for that, because that's definitely powerful. It's definitely on point. It's definitely effective in getting a point across that's very critical and important for everybody to keep in mind. But ladies, this isn't on the men, not this time. This isn't a problem that the men can solve, because the men are being the, and I'm saying men to those that are stepping up to be men, not males. Not you know, those walking around flossing, not the imposters. I'm talking about real men who know that their children are out there who would be a father to a childless person, whether he shares biology or not. I'm looking for those men that are out there that will fight the toxic woman without putting her down by just saying, I'm fighting the behavior. I'm not putting you down. Your behavior is blocking my path to my child. I don't care what you're saying. And if I have to expose it when we have this fight, then it's on you that's doing that, because I'm trying to make this as painless as possible. We don't have the right to be toxic, to reply to toxicity. We are not going to solve anything by becoming what caused your pain and anger and difficulty in the first place. We are not going to be any better or find the men that we're looking for after making a wrong turn or a bad pit stop with the men that turned out to not be men. If we keep allowing females to step in and represent us in ways that these media-hungry, bloodthirsty journalists and tabloid rags are looking for profit sales. Even respected journalists, and I'm bringing this up because I know everybody's like, well, what does media have to do with it? I'm going to tell you. Think about how much or the crazy things that even respected journalists from respected media sources would do just to get the story. And it's never a story where they go in and they'll go all the way into some icy place just to say, oh, look, you know, Piper the dog, you know, brought a lonely child a toy today, and he went all the way down. No, that's not the type of stories that they're going out there to go risk themselves being. They'll stand in the middle of live gunfire to get the story because the violence is the attraction. They'll stand in the middle of a tornado because the excitement and the danger is the attraction. Nobody really wants a story. They just want the hype to bring you to them. So these are what these women are, these females are doing. They're being the story. And that story is the stuff that's overshadowing that real women like us support real men that are not being shown, that are being overshadowed, that are being pushed to the back because nobody wants to see what we really are. Because you know what? Things being good doesn't sell stories. Somebody surviving a shooting doesn't sell the story. Getting shot sold the story. So we have to be the real story to our kids so that we could explain to them, well, people like that say things like that because other people like this need to see things like that. But that's not the that you need to be following because this is where you're going to get if you want to go somewhere. For a man who just sat there and told us, wrote down the most beautiful, longest, important, substantial piece like what was just read about what fathers mean to the essential, well-balanced upbringing of both boys and girls, as well as real moms and real women stepping up and doing their role and supporting and uplifting those real men to do their jobs is critical. And we cannot keep saying that we want something fixed or we want the fractures healed if we're not willing to say that on the other side of that fracture lies something a woman did wrong. And this has to be a lesson that young women and those of us that are a little more seasoned need to get in our heads. I get that in this society we are forced to be independent, but independent doesn't mean independent of the other half. Independent means that, you know what, you put me in a position where I have to establish me just in case there is no you. Just in case you walk off, just in case you die, just in case you decide that you don't want to go through the long walk anymore, we can't, there are things that still have to keep going whether you're doing your part or not. It means that I have established enough skills and talent and resource ability to understand how to do it on my own in the event that I should have to. It never said independent woman means that you are now a manufactured father too. We need to pick our right battles and we need to pick the battles that mean anything. He moved on. Maybe he didn't do it right. Maybe he didn't do it well. Maybe he didn't do it respectfully. But you know something? He did it. And now, after your grief, because you're entitled to that, after your anger, because you're entitled to that, after you've gone through whatever questions you have asked yourself as to why did it happen, you're entitled to that. But then you have to get up and understand that no matter what your questions were, no matter what your anger was, no matter what your pain was, your reality is now that you are no longer a part of that person. But there is a child involved because that child was conceived from a time where there was a you and him. So what is it that you have to give him to make his life remain as normal and stable and as happy as possible, whether or not there is a rift in your happiness with the man that you created this child with? That's what counts. Not you, not your vindictiveness, not your vendettas, not your need to stay on the Tiffany's and Barney side of things. There is something that Judge Lynn Toler said in this case that really touched me. I believe it was Sherelle Wilson and Terrence somebody. Beautiful young girl that a guy 20 years her senior who scooped her up and pretty much groomed her and, you know, and she said to her, your daughter will accept the hell you take. And she turned to the father and she said, your daughter will give in or will be subjected to the hell you create. You females need to think about that. If you tell your son that me as a woman will take anything, do anything, will negotiate anything, will devalue anything to keep a superficial position. As long as a guy got money, I will degrade myself. As long as a guy got money, I will make, you know, anything that's sacred be desecrated. I will have no morals. I will have no sides. I will have no grounds to stand by. I will have no goals. I just want to be rich and I just want to be kept. That is what he will search for. That is the way he'll treat the person that he picks. Because a guy's first woman example, the first woman in a man's life is his mother. And that person should say, the woman in my life has to be at least as good as my mom. She doesn't have to be my mom, but she has to come with the values and the deservedness that my mom has taught me for years I deserve to have. She has to be the person that my mother has told me for years I need to seek out and aspire for. Not be something he resents, not be something he tries to avoid, not be something he angrily tries to dispel from his memory or detach himself from. And that is something that you have to do. What we have to do as women, as a real women in this community, is call these women, these females out. What we have to do is to let them know, no, it's not cute. There's not going to be no girl gossip lunches where we laugh and accept this and say, girl, you better go do what you got to do. You better take them for everything they got. That is not the way we work. And I refuse to be represented or looked at or ostracized for you as a guilt by association in that respect. So once again, I'm going to invite you down in our last 19 minutes to call in at 347-327-9967. If you want to speak, please press 1. Got to go hit one last sponsor commercial. After that, we will be back to conclude and wrap up. Don't go away, ladies and gentlemen.
The On The Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. The show that gives you real talk about real issues needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered. Featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on The Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
Now, back with more On The Edge.
And we're back, everybody, to the On The Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. We are speaking on the subject title, Is It a Warrior Mom or a Toxic Woman? To those of you who's probably just joining us for the last half or the last quarter of the segment, we're speaking on two particular cases that were publicized and televised. In Georgia courts, Judge Alex Manning, I believe this was the for Rashawn Holmes. He was on the Sacramento Kings in the NBA. I believe now his current team is the Dallas Mavericks. And versus his ex-wife, Alexis Holmes, over a custody situation. And we were speaking about how she was pretty deplorable in her efforts to maintain her gravy train status, meaning, you know, she wasn't a wife long enough for California law. I really got to look up what exactly were the conditions or the terms of that, or what their overall law is regarding that, what the rules are about spousal support or alimony after a divorce, pretty much, in California. So the deal is that I guess that whatever her package was or her arrangements were, that she wasn't married long enough to have continuous alimony until remarrying. Okay, so I guess that either her allotted alimony amount is either running low at the time, or she was out of it altogether. So the only other financial compensation that she could rely on if she wanted to maintain some semblance of whatever ease she had as in shopping or financial situations as the NBA player's wife lies within the child support. So apparently, those of you who don't know the story and just coming in, make this real quick, she was told that custody had been legally and fully granted to her husband. So she tried to do everything she could to have the decision reversed and brought up the fact that first he was abusive to her, then it was that he hurt the boy. She coached the boy off screen to kind of, react as if she really was afraid of the boy, of his father, so many things. And then when they told her, yeah, we're not buying it, give the boy to his father, she went to a second L.A. County jurisdiction and tried to have the case retried or appealed, remediated. They told her the same thing, and then she actually took the kid, defying all court orders and instructions, and went to Georgia and tried to have a new allegation, modified abuse charges or whatever, heard in that court. The problem was, she went into Georgia not fully prepared in her deception, because what happened was the judge in Georgia let her do all that talking, and at the end of it all didn't even have the authority to try the case because no infractions were committed on Georgia property or Georgia state line. So there was nothing that she could do except uphold the previous judge's thing. So now that's all over the place. Now, going over to another one who pretty much he wasn't even trying to hide that she's just ratchet, Kristen Rae Williams. She is a chronic baby mama, as I said, meaning she's got, I think, 4 kids with 3 men. And she, you know, is all over the place with, or 3 kids with 2 men, one of the two. But she didn't have any of her children, but she had all the child support money. Her mom in Florida, while she's living, I believe, in Michigan, has the child, even though the father of that child is trying to get the child and is involved. So she became an issue and started screaming on the judge and making up 5,000 different things as to why the children aren't physically with her, but she still has the money. And she came up with, first, I sent the babies with their fathers, and because this particular father, the child was having a behavioral issue, so I sent it to a father to straighten her out. Then it was, no, she's not with me, she's with my mom because I have to work 2 and 3 jobs. Then it was, oh, but I have medical surgery coming up. Everything she tried to tell the judge that didn't work, the judge was like, well, see, all the more reason for me to believe that and be inclined to believe that her father requesting custody is the best place for the child to be. She is educationally stable. She is nutritionally stable. She is emotionally stable. The father is involved with taking her to the amusement park and everything. She's stable and she's happy and she's sound. With you, your health may be an issue to be having you incapable of physically being able to help her. Your job puts you away where you won't be able to spend time. So everything she tried to use to desperately hold on to whatever her arrangement was, she was making herself be shot more in the foot. So that was the situation. So with that being said, this is my bottom line and my benediction on this particular segment. The same way this last 3 segments was not ripping in, but drilling into men's heads that the members of their men community that are not on their game because they are suffering with unaddressed and untreated mental health concerns, trauma, hurt, pain, whatever it is, and they are suppressing that or hesitating to seek out becoming whole again because their fellow male community members are ostracizing them for doing so. We sat back and said that as much as we're telling you as women that we support you and we love you through it, it's you men that are laughing at them that's making them feel that what we're saying is invalidated. So you men are responsible for cleaning up the mess you made in your community and getting those men and all of you back in orbit and back in sync and back on your thrones where you need to be. Well, women, that's on us too. We know that there's these females going outside doing these horrible, deplorable, irreprehensible things, using their children and your children alike to get financial gain, using the vindictiveness against a man that either it didn't work out mutually or he did something wrong to her, so she's going to do what she thinks is going to be a way to be spiteful and get revenge, and that's to hold the child away. It's to call him a rapist, or it's to call him a domestic violence abuser. So these are things that real women out there or real victims are suffering from, and you're making it harder for an already hard task of gaining justice and help in these matters, because now you made it further legitimate that these men don't want to look at it and say, ah, yeah, here she goes again. Everybody's going to pull the domestic violence card. You're making it harder for people as this is opening up to take it seriously, because when you're exposed for your fraud, people who really need it have been robbed of their rights. So us women have to step up and collectively look at these infractors and these imposters and say, this is not acceptable, because we don't want to be judged by the stuff that you do. Our children are getting worse because of the stuff that you're doing. Our children's mental mindset is all over the place because of the stuff that you do. And we have to say to ourselves, I don't feel bad when the law comes down on you and holds you accountable just like they would a man for doing stuff that a man would do. By the way, in the last 8 minutes that we have here, there's a very important snippet in this article that's written on Very Well Mind, verywellmind.com, and it is written by Zuva 7, that was just published last year, February 19th, and it's called What is Toxic Femininity? One of the things that really stood out with me was the whole summary definition in a nutshell. And it said, toxic femininity posits that women are with, I'm sorry, the behavior is any thoughts, actions, or behaviors by women that benefit or defer others, usually males, at the expense of a woman's independence, agency, full range of emotion, and emotional and mental well-being. So it's a woman being toxic for vendetta against the man, for whatever invalidation she felt he puts on him, trying to get somewhere, someplace to be on top, and at the expense of anybody and anything. And when these women are using their children as the ultimate vice, that is a big cardinal sin breaker. And it has to stop. So with that being said, everybody, I'll be back here tomorrow night. Today was a special day filling in for our Wednesday slot. Tomorrow night we'll be here, and tomorrow we're going to be talking about a couple of things. But you come back here tomorrow at 10 p.m. and you'll know. And look out for the pre-topic video, which will be explaining what we're going to be doing, giving our little morning message, and leading up to tomorrow night. So until tomorrow night, everybody, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. And get out there and stand your ground as a real woman to protect the innocence and the sacred shield and protection for our children and our futures and our relationships, and bring these men who are doing their best to be exactly what they're supposed to be to the front light, so we could dispel the myth of the reality TV show Deadbeat that they keep posting on the front page all the time. So until tomorrow night, everybody, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your support. Thank you for making sure that we're all okay, even when we're not here together all the time. Okay? God bless you. Good night.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.